Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Here we go.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mama. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a pop and pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yell fire! With a warning, a revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same green. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the rich is taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Play us on a record, you can play us on a CD. All the shit you've given us is fertilizer. The seeds that you planted, you can never brutalize. Now the corporation, you can never globalize it. Like Peter Tosh said, legalize it. Girls and boys hear the bass and the treble. Rumble in the speakers and it make you want to rebel. Throw your hands off, take it to another level. And you never, ever, ever make a deal with the devil. Yeah, fire.
Thank you for being up late with me up late midnight, Pacific terrific time, as it were. It is no longer five nights a week for 2 hours a night like it was for a couple of years. I took a year off. I've been back for about 3 weeks. I'm doing basically just doing one show a week, 2 hours. My life, well, it's a little busy right now. Got a lot of things going on. And some friends of mine are starting a lefty-leftist network, the Commons Project Network, thecommonsproject.com. You can find us all over there. It's still in the, it's in the beginning stages. Several of us have shows. We're posting them up there. Some of us are still trying to figure out how to post up there. And it'll have all the shows live at the time. And then the archives will be available up there as well. There's some bloggers as well. Anyway, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. I'm coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. I am using Gwendolyn Berry. Gwendolyn, Gwenny. I'm using Gwendolyn's account. She doesn't do a show on this day. So she was so kind as to give me 2 hours of her time on Here Be Monsters. Anyway, it is the Pico the Bear Show, a little lefty leftist ear candy for the choir. Good information for those who are not in the choir but are wondering what the hell's going on in this world, why things are the way they are, and what they can do to change them. If you listen to this show and you think I'm just a little far-left radical and you don't know where I'm coming from, if you don't know where I'm coming from, look to your left. Look to your left. See that guy down there? Way down there, yeah. That guy down there, the bald-headed guy. Bald by choice, by the way. Yeah, that's me, Pinko the Bear. And, I'll leave the light on for you. I'll keep a chair ready for you when you're ready to join the choir. We'll all sing in unison about the evils of capitalism, about the joys of socialism, communism, anarchism. I kind of put them all together. Yeah, okay, there's differences, but there's one common enemy, and that is the private ownership of the means of production. There's one common enemy, the ruling class. There are only two classes. There's not an upper middle class, a middle class, a lower class, a blue collar class, a working class. No, there's two classes. There's the ruled class and the ruling class. If you're listening to this show, you are not part of the ruling class, nor will you ever be part of the ruling class. I don't care if you make $1 million in your pizza shop or your restaurant or your drug dealings or your car, your timeshare sales. I don't care if you build your own business from the ground up with your blood, sweat, and tears. You're still a working man, a working woman. You are still working class. You're not the ruling class, and you don't get to make the fucking rules. By the way, just as a little heads up here, it is late, and I tend to be loose with my language. I also tend to drink a little bit when I'm doing the show. Therefore, just be warned that F-bombs will drop. Not gratuitously, but just every once in a while for emphasis. F-bombs will drop. F-bombs do not kill people. Say it with me. Real bombs kill people. Obama's drones kills people. Johnson's drones kill people. Bush's bombs. Hey, ruling class bombs kill people. F-bombs, not so much. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's true. We teach that to our kids when we're little, right? Don't worry about what he said. It's just a word. But capitalism kills. Oppression, authority. The profit system kills. Bombs of the empire kill. So, yeah, don't worry about an F-bomb here and there. It just doesn't fucking matter, okay? It's just not that big of a deal. Just saying. All right, so I got 2 hours to yammer on tonight, to talk, to yak, to bring things up, to share. Sharing is caring. Be sweet. Retweet if you got this this link on Facebook or on Twitter. Yeah, be kind, man. Share. Yeah, you might know all this stuff already, but maybe all your friends don't, so they should probably tune in. I'm just saying. So, yeah, I'm also a little under the weather and a little bit tired. It's interesting working 50 hours a week, 4 days, DJing my second job, 5-6 hours a night, two nights, going to the Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective meetings, the IWW meetings, the May Day rally. I can get a little tired right now, and I am a little tired tonight. So, hey, here's the deal. If you ever wanted to call in and talk about something, tonight would be a really good night to do that. I've got stuff planned. I just don't know if I have the energy for all of it. So the call-in number is area code 213-816-0357. 213-816-0357. I'll keep an eye on the switchboard. This is Do-It-Yourself Radio, just me. My internet connection, my $100 microphone, my cheap-ass earbuds, because my good headphones seem to have a short in them, and my laptop, coming to you from really lovely studio. I've got a really, really lovely studio, a 1985 Southwind motorhome, plugged into the garage in the back of the property, so I got a little juice, so I can come and get juiced and talk to you. All right, so also the chat room is open. Follow the link that you found on Facebook or the Twitter. Chat room is open. Hello, everybody in the chat room. Oh, we have one. Hi. That's all right. You know what? You're up late. It is dark outside. But you are not alone. You're not alone. One of the interesting things about doing this radio show for, well, I started a little over three years ago, did it for 2 years. The interesting thing is I found out that I'm not alone. I'm not the only crazy person out there that questions capitalism. I'm not the only crazy person out there that questions the crap that I hear and I see that comes to me from my TV machine through the good graces of the corporate controlled media. When I say controlled, it's not like, oh, they tell them what they can and can't say. No, it's a little more subtle than that. But, you know, the advertising speaks volumes. Here's a little thought experiment for you. When you're watching a news program or you're watching a talk show or listening to a talk show on even on AM radio, if you're watching MSNBC or CNBC or Fox Business Channel, whatever you watch, get a little piece of paper, a pen, and write down all the ads that you see. See who the sponsors are. Who's selling what? And ask yourself, who's being sold what? And by whom? And it's kind of an interesting thing when you start looking at it. It's all the you know, the boner pills and the Cialis and all that, all the pharmaceuticals. They're all big pharma. They're all the disease treatment industry. It's not healthcare. It's disease treatment. Billionaires and killionaires making money off of your misery. It's the big finance capital, GE Capital or whatever, or Prudential or whatever. All these motherfuckers who didn't see the crash coming, didn't see the Great Depression Part D coming a few years back, selling you stuff. Security companies selling you stuff. Oh, and then, of course, the fossil fuel industry is telling you how great clean coal is, or how great they've done cleaning up. BP's done such a great job partnering in the Gulf, putting people back to work, cleaning shit up. So when you're watching Diane Sawyer or Brian Williams or any of these other millionaire talking heads in service of the billionaires, just understand that you are the product. It's not the stuff that they're showing you on the television machine, but the guys on the TV, they're selling your eyeballs. They're selling your ear holes. They're selling you to their corporate sponsors. That ought to give you an idea of how totally inaccurate these fucktards can be. Seriously. Speaking of inaccurate fucktards, I got to talk about May Day for a minute. Actually, for maybe about 5 minutes after I have a little drink of Fresca here. My God. My dog, that's good. So, as you know, if you've been listening to the show before, I've been involved in the May Day planning, May Day planning committee for the last few years since I joined the IWW, always out in front on that. This year, it was IWW, it was SMAC, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective, some of my homies and comrades from that. There was the immigration reform for Nevada, nice people, single issue kind of Democrats. And then there was also La Familia Vota, another single issue kind of liberal Democrat organization. There was AFG and AFSCME and a couple other businesses, I think the IBEW, but they were mostly individuals of those unions that came out in support this year. And I was kind of excited. We had a little different plan. We planned to meet at the rally site, which was the ice rink right across. It's called City Plaza. It's right across from City Hall. And instead of marching from Stewart Park a mile away to there and then disbanding after the speechifying, we decided to start it there and then make a march around the federal building a couple blocks away. And then down to Wingfield Park. Wingfield, of course, the governor who called out the not only National Guard but the federal troops to put down coal mining strikes, you know, shooting innocent men, women, and children. Anyway, so we go to Wingfield Park, and our comrades from RISE, Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality, provided food. And we had pinatas. SMAC made pinatas. One was a pinata of a cop. Well, actually, it was a pinata of a pig. Same thing, right? So pinata of a pig dressed as a cop, and we strung it up in a tree, and the kids had a great time beating the shit out of that. And it was even funny when once they broke it, and then it fell off the string and fell into the ground, and they kept beating the shit out of the pig. You're like, well, 5, 6, 7 year old, so I'm like, way to go. And they got some homemade candy, nothing from the big corporations. It was homemade. They were like, sesame. They weren't Rice Krispie treats, but they were like sesame seed treats, if you can picture that. But it was nice. And the other one was the Monopoly Man, basically the banker, right, in the black suit and the top hat. And the kids loved beating the shit out of that one, too. Actually, the adults took to that one as well. So anyway, May Day was great. We had well over 300 people, up from 100, up 150 even, from the last year or so. It was great. We had a bunch of speakers. Everybody did your speechifying, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 4 minutes there. Nobody went on for 12 minutes like that has happened in the past. And it was great. It was a big show of solidarity. IWW was there. We had a table. We were selling T-shirts, giving out paraphernalia. So was SMAC. So was Vota, Mi Familia Vota, and the immigration reform. There was, I don't know, somebody signing people up to register to vote. All the different groups are there. But they're all affinity groups. We're all on the same side. We don't all have the same exact goals in the end, but we're on the same side generally. So it was great. Well, let me just play this clip. So this is immigration. This is not an immigration rally, right? They were there. They were part of it. They had their signs, and we're glad they were there. And it wasn't strictly an anti-capitalist rally. It was, you know what it is? It's International Workers' Rights Day. Okay? Haymarket Square, Haymarket Martyrs, you know, the fight for the 8-hour workday. International Workers' Rights Day. Leave those American flags home, please, folks. No, a few people brought them out. But some of us had something to say about that. But anyway, so that's what it was all about. And we've been doing this for several years now.
And we talked about, well, do we need a permit? No, we don't need a permit. Well, what are we going to do? Well, how about we contact the city and let them know what we're going to do? Then we're going to march. And we're going to have a little free speech zone thing going on. We won't have any amplified music that requires a permit. We're not going to be selling food in the park. It doesn't require a permit. And so we checked it out with the city. We talked to them, let them know what's going on. But how do you think, what do you think the news organizations had to say about 300 people gathering peacefully, no guns, no bombs, no rocks, no bricks? What do you think the local news media had to say about people getting together to celebrate International Workers' Rights Day? Here, let me just play this. This is 59 seconds. This is our local news 4 in Reno, KVRN. They must pay these guys the big bucks because they're so fucking accurate. And they're so on point. Nah, they're not. But here, let's check this out. Here it is. News 4, KVR.
News 5, one question being asked about the May Day march and protest in Reno. Did that group that held the event have the proper permit? A spokesperson for the city of Reno says no. The group marched from the Reno City Plaza next to City Hall to Wingfield Park, calling for immigrants' rights. At times, the group crossed city streets, forcing officers to close down the streets. The city had to call in 6 officers to help with crowd control and traffic. More officers would have been necessary to call in if it were not for the fact that it was near shift change and extra officers were readily available.
City officials want to make it clear they support the First Amendment right to protest, but
sure
events
do.
this size need to get permits because of the extra cost of city resources. Now, we emailed 4 of the organizers of the event to see why they did not get a permit. We have not yet received a response.
How about you shut the fuck up and quit lying? Or how about you just do your goddamn job, Channel 4? Really? Okay, we don't need a permit. And honestly, some of the protesters crossed the street. Well, no shit. Human beings need to walk. They cross the street occasionally. There's crosswalks. There's stoplights. They go red, yellow, and green. Or do they go green, yellow, and red? I'm a little bit dyslexic. I get a little screwed up sometimes. So here's their little minute story. And one question that people are asking is, did they have a permit? Hey, no. Here's a question for you. What is May Day all about? Then maybe you could give a little background about how we used to have to work 14, 16-hour days. How there wasn't such a thing as an 8-hour work day. How the Popo in Chicago strung up 6 leaders of the protest, the strikes, the Haymarket, whole Haymarket. I'm just getting a little bit amped up. You know, you could talk about the history. You could talk about why there's an International Workers' Rights Day. This isn't an immigration reform rally. Okay, they're part of it. We love them. We're glad they were there. They're glad we were there. It's May Day, you fools. It's a celebration of international workers' rights. Hard-fought rights. Hard-won rights. Full of martyrs. Full of ruined lives. Full of sadness and tragedy in order to get things like the 8-hour workday. But no, here, just listen to these pricks again. And it's only a minute long. Just listen to what they talk about here. This is the coverage of fucking
May Day. One question being asked about the May Day march and protest in Reno. Did that group that held the event have the proper permit? A spokesperson for the city of Reno says no. The group marched from the Reno City Plaza next to City Hall to Wingfield Park, calling for immigrants' rights.
Not the federal
building. At times,
the group
crossed city
streets,
forcing officers to close down the streets. The city had to call in 6 officers to help with crowd control and traffic. more officers would have been necessary to call in if it were not for the fact that it was near shift change and extra officers were readily available.
City officials want to make it clear they support the First Amendment right to protest, but events this size need to get permits because of the extra cost of city resources. Now, we emailed four of the organizers of the event to see why they did not get a permit. We have not yet received a response.
Yeah. So, no mention of the march around the federal building. No mention of that. No. We just went from the plaza to Wingfield. And then they said they emailed for the organizers for the event. Well, I'm with two of those groups, the IWW and SMAC. We got no emails. I heard that the other two groups, the Immigration and Mi Familia Vota, did not get those same emails. This is the kind of crap you get on your corporate-sponsored television machine. It's not real news. It's not accurate. It's not even remotely accurate. Oh, they had to call in six cops to close down the streets because of the marchers were crossing the street. Really? Really? No, there was at least 40, 50, 60 cops out there. There were pigs everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, and on that note, there was only one arrest. I only laugh because it was so predictable. Comrade Hector. Hector Roots. Love you, man. So Hector's very he's in SMAC with us. And he's awesome. If you're listening, you're awesome. But Hector was pushing the anti-war wagon. Now, if you don't know what the anti-war wagon is, that's basically a shopping cart that's got signs on the front, on the back, on the sides, you know, nice little signs about solidarity, workers' rights, capitalism kills, you know, that kind of thing. And then inside there was a speaker and an amplifier and an inverter, you know, and a battery. And it's a little something we made up at SMAC. I didn't actually work on it. The other guys worked on it. But it's cool. It's badass. It's the anti-war wagon. And so he was pushing that. And it has the big red and black flags, and it was all cool. And but because he was pushing the cart, because he was vocal and you know, out front, so to speak, and he posts a lot of things on Facebook in full view of the pigs, legally or not, he was targeted and he was arrested, and it ruined the rest of his May Day. Anyway, he was arrested for, let's see, what was it, trying to overthrow the government? No. Throwing a brick through Starbucks window? No. The hell was he? Oh, yes, jaywalking. Jaywalking. There are 300 and something people in this march, and several hundred, or let's say half, let's say 150, were jaywalking. And they just said, fuck it, we're taking the streets. We didn't need the cops, the six extra officers, to be called in to shut down the streets. Now, we shut them down, Channel 4. Whose streets? Our streets, motherfucker. We shut them down. We didn't need the cops to shut down the streets. So they arrested Hector. It was bad for him because it kind of ruined the rest of the day. He didn't get to come to the park and play. It was a nice banner drop out right in the parking lot across from the federal building. The weight at the bottom fell off, so the banner kind of flew and you couldn't really read it. But, you know, hey, A for effort, man. IWW in the house. So that's our May Day, man. But you get these stories. You just get these fictions from your corporate controlled media. No mention of International Workers' Day. No mention of the tens of millions of people in, you know, 100 other countries doing the same thing. You know, 150,000 in this town, 200,000 in that town, 75,000 in this town. No mention of that. No. The lead is Reno May Day didn't get a permit. That's how lame it is. That's the one question being asked today. Really, six cops, six extra cops. No, there were 40, 50 of them. I got video. Yeah, and by the way, if you're not my Facebook friend, you can find me on Facebook. I've got a real personal account. It's Brad Holhut, H-O-L-H-U-T, and in parentheses it'll say A-Bear. But I also have the Pinko the Bear Show page. So go on Facebook, search Pinko the Bear Show, and you'll find my page. I use them both. I'm going to try to use the page more than my personal, because I've got other things going on in my life, and it's not all political all the time. All right, I think it's time to take a break. Should we play a song, you think? Or should we just, like, find some random cool stuff to play? I think we'll find some random cool stuff to play. I'll be back.
Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Every battle is won before it's ever fought.
Your enemy is superior, evade him. If angry, irritate him. If equally matched, fight. And if not, split. Reevaluate.
Rip their fucking rip roads, rip out.
50 grand, 40%.
15 grand, 50 10,
47,000.
30%, 30, 35%.
Pick your name. 60 million a quarter.
Half a million.
A couple hundred thousand.
$800,000.
$40,000.
$400,000.
75.
950.
20%.
75 million thousand.
Greed. Greed is right. Greed. Greed works. Greed. Greed is right. Greed is good.
Money. Money.
Money is cash.
Cash.
My money.
Money. Money.
Money
is my
money.
Cash.
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 Money.
Money.
Money is
cash.
Cash.
My money.
Cash.
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 75 million.
You're not inside, you are outside,
okay?
And I'm not talking about some $400,000 you're working Wall Street to fly first class and be comfortable. I'm talking about the
every battle is won before it's ever fought.
Greed.
Think about it.
Greedy, greedy fucking bankers. Hang them all. Hang them all. Oh, yeah. Feel the vibe. It's late. It's dark, but you are not alone.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat.
Oh,
yeah. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Yeah, the revolution will be live out in the streets without a fucking permit, okay? It is the Pink of the Bear Show. Drink them if you got them. Smoke them if you got them. Relax. We got about an hour and a half to go. I don't know if I'm going to go the full 2 hours tonight because I'm a little bit tired, as you might have picked up on. But once again, if you do want to yak, tonight would be a really good time to call in and yak 1-213-816-0357. 213-816-0357. The chat room is open. Oh, look, the chat room is empty. Well, it's late. It's 3 a.m. on the East Coast. It's 3:36 a.m. on the East Coast. I know. You can't do that. You got stuff to do. That's why we have the archives. Archives will be at Blog Talk Radio under Here Be Monsters. Just use the Google machine. Use the Google machine, or just punch up the post on Facebook or Twitter, and it'll play back when you're ready. Eventually, we'll get an RSS feed. It'll go to iTunes like all my other older shows used to. But since I'm using Gwen's account, right now, we're not going to iTunes. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends. Just tell your friends. Maybe they just want to be entertained by the crazy person talking about how bad capitalism is for the planet and for all of its inhabitants except for the few in the ruling class. Maybe they just need some more information. Maybe they want to call in. Maybe they want to talk. Maybe they can't spell NAFTA, let alone know what it is. Maybe they don't know what neoliberalism is. But they should know. You should know. We can talk about anything. But you know what? Right now, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about terrorism. I want to talk about terrorism. Now, I didn't get to this last week. This is Margaret Kimberly, also known as Freedom Writer, over at Black Agenda Report. BlackAgendaReport.com, Black Agenda Report Radio, and they've got a TV show that I saw the pilot episode. I don't know how it's going. I haven't seen the other ones. But anyway, she's a Black Agenda Report editor, senior columnist. Her name is Margaret Kimberly, and she had some really smart things to say about everyday terror, and this is in light of what went on in Boston a couple of weeks ago. And I won't read it word for word because that's not my style. I might embellish and add a little aside here or there. It is what it is. So she says every year, 4,600 Americans are killed in workplace-related accidents. Think about that for a moment. Accidents in the workplace. Because the capitalists, well, they just don't give a fuck about safety. They only care about profit. 4,600 Americans killed in the workplace in accidents every year. Every 28 hours, a black person is killed by police, correction officers, security guards, vigilantes. We've got over 30,000 people, human beings, killed by gun violence in this country each and every year. But you know what the odds of being killed by a terrorist are? The odds, folks, of being killed by a terrorist are only 1 in 20 million. Would you buy a ticket for that? 1 in 20 million. That's your chance of being killed by a terrorist. But of course, you know,
nobody's going to talk about these statistics. They're never going to address these statistics after a couple of bombs go off at the Boston Marathon. Death is not good, right? Death under horrific but commonplace circumstances attracts scant media attention or political action. Commonplace, you know, work-related accidents, gun violence, black people being killed by cops. Oh, that's commonplace. They're not going to talk about that, right? No. Because it's commonplace. But if you label something as terrorism, well, shit. Terrorism, which is unlikely to kill anyone, what do they say? 1 in 20 million? But if you call it terrorism, goddammit, if you call it terrorism, it's going to bring an inordinate amount of hysteria among the populace and the cynical attention from the press and the politicians. You saw it play out over the last couple of weeks, right? People lost their freaking minds. And so a couple of people get killed. What is it, 14 people get killed? The country loses its mind. It's 24/7 coverage. But then just a couple of days later, what do we have? We got 14 people killed by a corporation at a fertilizer plant in Texas. 14 killed at the fertilizer explosion. So you see, the risk of dying in an industrial accident like that is way more than the risk of being killed by a terrorist. But it doesn't fucking matter. Not to the news people. Not to the sycophantic talking head motherfuckers that pretend to be your friend and pretend to keep you in the loop about what's going on and what's important. No, they just whip you into a frenzy. Don't pay attention to the real problems. Pay attention to this problem. And it's really frightening that the risks which Americans are subjected to on a daily basis, totally ignored, as if they're just kind of, I don't know, unwanted background noise. And some of the passivity is understandable. I mean, black people in particular are able to function in large part because the ever-present risk of stop and frisk, false arrest, police brutality that are difficult to bear. And there's a thin line between being conscious and losing one's mind. All Americans' behavior is understandable if one acknowledges that we are constantly subjected to the propaganda of various kinds. We have been propagandized to believe that, you know, some lives, white Americans, are more valuable than others. Namely, anyone not white nor from the United States. There's no way to explain the government's killing of thousands of people abroad. There's no way to explain why that is met with a shrug, or I should say there's no other way, if it's acknowledged at all. Because Americans, for the most part, they're like spoiled fucking children. And they're whining over their suffering while they show no empathy for anyone else's suffering. And they feel that their only victimization is worthy of note, is worthy of press. And in fact, many of them support their government's acts of violence carried out around the world. And that feeling of entitlement that these white folks have, my people. This feeling of entitlement is a direct result of centuries of white supremacy, which has never been examined or challenged. It's been fed as corporate power has grown and corrupted the media, who are now not even good at the very basics of their profession, as I pointed out earlier. We got CNN and NPR, the Associated Press, and these other supposedly reputable news organizations reported wrongly on basic facts of the case, such as the number of suspects, whether arrests have been made or not, or who was or wasn't a person of interest. Shit like a dark-skinned man was said to be under arrest, but actually wasn't. An Indian student missing since March was named as a suspect on social media, and his family were threatened as a result. After the wave of manufactured hysteria and easily frightened people were then convinced to accept tanks in their streets, in the streets of Boston, and they were convinced to heed government calls to shelter in place. Shelter in place. Stay in your place. Stay inside. Don't do anything. We're looking for the bad guys. We got tanks. Don't come out. This nonsensical overreaction was superseded only by the use of Orwellian jargon used to create an even more compliant public. The predictably maudlin moments of silence weren't restricted to Boston. More than $20 million in monetary contributions were raised without the donors knowing who needed it or for what purpose. Send money to Boston. Tributes flowed along with money, and no one ran a race anywhere on earth without mentioning the bravery of the Bostonians. They were brave, weren't they? And then the president shows up and, as always on such occasions, utters a bunch of seemingly written by his worst speechwriters. The full force of government would catch the cowards, and the people would not be frightened because they are the best and the freest in the world, and the prayers of the nation went out to them because of democracy. Democracy, and the whole world stood beside them. Amen. And there's another kind of terror that goes on continually, folks. The most reported terror plots of the last few years, you know, they're all created entirely by government agents. The FBI had some contact with, I can't even say his name, Tamerlan, I never did learn how to pronounce his name, but the brother who was killed by the police. It's possible the FBI moved from creating phony terror plots to actually carrying one out. It's possible. The likelihood that there would never be an impartial fact-finding on this or other questions are slim to none. And then his brother, Dzokhar, lying in a hospital, wounded by police gunfire. And he's being questioned without being read his rights. And that, my friends, that treatment is a result of an Obama executive order which states that in cases of, quote, public safety exception, you and I have no such rights. And folks, that is everyday terror. It's the Pinko the Bear Show. I'm going to take another quick break. Take a break, I don't know, crack a beer, maybe smoke a cigarette, and when I come back, we'll talk about something else, or you can call in, 1-213-816-3557. Here's the theme song of the Game of Thrones. Sing along if you know the words. I think you do. Game of Thrones, the fucking Game of Thrones. reaching the halfway mark of the Pink of the Bear show. Wednesday, May 8th. I'm just a little lazy tonight. Sing it with me.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times.
I truly do. All right. So under the non-political, but just you know, under the category of yes, there is good news. If you or your child ever shows up on an Amber Alert and they're gone for 10 years, but hey, it could happen. She could show up. She could somehow get loose and get to the front door and start screaming and yelling. And then a black man who lives next door could see it and come to the door, and she could say, "Hey, let me out. I've been captured. I'm on the Amber Alert. I'm that girl whose name I forget." But you know, it could happen. And so it did happen. And this is kind of cool. Charles Ramsey, a neighbor, basically rescued this girl and some others that were inside. And she'd been on the Amber Alert list. She'd been a missing child for 10 years. And, I don't know how messed up she is now, but maybe she's like Elizabeth Smart. Maybe she'll get it together and reintegrate into normal society. But man, she's safe, and that's cool. But also, what's cool is his interview with the local cat there, local news station. He wanted to get hey man, what happened? And the guy just starts talking, and I don't want to play that like 2.5 minute piece of him talking, because our friends at AutoTune have auto-tuned Charles Ramsey talking about I knew there was something wrong. When a white girl runs into the arms of a black man, you know that there's going to be a problem. So let me share this with you.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran to a black man's arms. Dad, give away. My neighbor got big tentacles, cause we see this dude every day.
Every day.
We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
Dad, give away.
My neighbor got big tentacles, cause we see this dude every day. Kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, it's some old girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called him at McDonald's. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran to a black man's arms.
Dad, give away.
My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day.
Every day.
We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
We eat ribs.
Tell us what to do next and we'll songify that. Do it to yourself on the Songify app. Just like this. Oh, yo-ho, accent on the yo.
Dad, give away. My neighbor's got big testicles because we see this dude every day.
We eat ribs. Yeah, he barbecues with his neighbor, and he's just a regular guy. He messes with his motorcycles, cuts his lawn, you know, has just, you know, just a regular neighbor, man. But turns out he had some kids locked in his house. He was one sick motherfucker. They caught him at McDonald's. We eat ribs with this dude. I love that part. I really, that's fantastic. So what else is going on in the world? Oh, this is great. So, I don't know if you know Adam Koresh. I don't know if Koresh is the right name. That was David Koresh, right, from Waco. But Adam, you know, Adam versus the Man, he's got a show on RT now. But for a couple of years, he was just this right libertarian, fucktard, wingtard, kind of an ANCAP type that does YouTube videos. Sounds very convincing, nice-looking guy, big muscles, you know. Hey, it sounds good. I think I'll believe what he believes. Anyway, he's check this out. He's got a little stunt going on. You may have heard about it. I call it a stunt. There's no proof yet until we'll find out in the end. But my personal opinion is this is a stunt, and it won't happen. But he's trying to get if he can get 10,000 RSVPs saying yes, I'll be there. He's going to plan a march on Washington with loaded rifles. Everybody, bring your rifle. Bring your bullets. And he's gonna put on a march on Washington with loaded weapons, to put the government on notice. So far, he's got about 900 people. He needs 1,000, so he's got, you know, a little less than 10%. And this is supposed to happen on the 4th of July in Washington, D.C. Andy, get your gun. We're going to D.C. We're gonna put the government on notice. Openly carrying guns, of course, there, where he's planning on doing it, is against the law. He don't need no permit, and actually, I don't think he does. I don't really care. I'm not, like, putting him down for that. I'm just putting him down because he's fucking right-wing libertarian fucktard. But anyway, he's known as a libertarian radio host, Adam Koresh, not Koresh. That would be David Koresh, another crazy person. But this is Adam Koresh. K-O-K-E-S-H. I'm not a big fan, but he is, you know, he's like a lot of charlatans. He appears to believe he sells it very well, and he's got a little brand going, and now he's got a show on RT. And this is going to be a march. It's supposedly an act of civil disobedience. And you know what? I'm all for it, man. Hey, dude, go get your guns, get your buddies, and go march without a permit, right? I don't have any problem with that. And because furthermore, he says, look, man, if the cops show up and they say, go away, you can't do this, they will comply and they'll turn around and they won't, you know, start any shit and they'll just, you know, go home. So the thing is, it's pretty much a publicity stunt to my mind. And personally, I don't give a shit if they march with loaded guns and if something bad happens, because these are two groups that I really don't like. I don't like these dickweed, right-wing, gun nut, right libertarian types. And I don't like the gang that is in blue, you know, with the military equipment. I don't like either one of those groups. So if something bad happens, well, I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, you might, that's fine. Other people might, maybe you don't. I don't know. I just don't care. My general feeling is when your enemies are making mistakes, it's a good idea not to say anything to them and try to stop them. Just let them go ahead and do it. I just think it's a publicity stunt. All sorts of shit could go wrong. I mean, if he gets 10,000 people to show up with rifles, is he going to interview every one of them, make sure they're not crazy? You're going to make sure they're not some sort of plant that's going to start shooting people just to, you know, for their own, like, personal enjoyment or to start some shit. I mean, there's no way to control 10,000 people with guns. I mean, it's insane. So I think it's a publicity stunt. I don't think it'll ever happen, you know. And, yeah, you might say it's stupid to hold an event like that where guns are restricted, you know. Maybe it's stupid, maybe it's not. But hey, if he wants to do this, and people want to show up and do it, I'm all for acts of civil disobedience. I don't think that he and his followers and I will be on the same side if we do manage to, I don't know, do away with the capitalist ruling class and start a better egalitarian society. I don't think we'll be on the same side, but I'm okay with that. I didn't think we didn't need a permit to take over the streets. I don't think he needs a permit to do what he's doing or says he's going to do in Washington. I think it's a really dumb idea. I think it's a bad idea to actually follow through with it, because you can't control the crazy people in your group. And, you know, I mean, really. So if he does it, okay, if he does the march, even if he gets turned back, and everybody behaves and nothing happens, nobody gets shot, he'll make his point, and I think that's fine. I don't know. I wonder though, if he wasn't white and he was calling for, you know, 10,000 people with rifles, let's say he was, I don't know, black and had a big afro, right? Let's just say if he was Mexican-American, and he was calling for 10,000 people to show up with loaded rifles in Washington, D.C., really? Do you think he'd be treated just maybe a little bit differently? And, you know, this is one of the things. This is a stunt. I'm telling you, it's a stunt. I'll put my word on it. I'll put my reputation on the line. It ain't going to happen. It's a stunt. Because then the places like Think Progress or Daily Cause or any of the liberal media outlets are going to go crazy to talk about, look how bad and how crazy these gun people are. So they're going to get some publicity, and he'll get more hits on his blog, and maybe more people know his name and they'll watch his show on RT. I would not recommend it. I really wouldn't. So Adam's going to get a shit ton of free press, and, you know, that's all right. That's all right. But him and his Ted Nugent-like friends, I don't know, just not a fan. So I thought I'd throw that out there to you. I'll be back in a minute. 2 minutes to be exact.
I got a better future for me and my family.
I got a career helping others.
One phone call changed my life. I called the Khan Academy.
At the Khan Academy, we believe in you. Heck, we believe in just about anything.
At the Khan Academy, you can be fully trained and ready for an exciting new career in the paranormal in as little as 8 months.
We know with our hearts and our minds, and because we have a dictionary, that you can't spell confidence without con. We looked it up.
That's why we work hard to build confidence in our trainees, because believing really is seeing.
Square.
Hit.
Circle.
Wow, hit.
Star.
That's amazing. You just went 10 for 10.
Really?
No. But you did get this one right.
Oh, my God.
And that feeling you're having right now, your clients will feel that, too. They'll remember the hits and forget the misses.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Why am I doing that?
Psychologists call this the confirmation bias, where you look for and find confirming evidence for what you already believe, and you ignore the disconfirming evidence. People want to believe, and your clients will, too.
But your Khan Academy training won't stop at the classroom door. We go one step beyond with practical, real-world training.
I'm feeling a strong spirit coming through here from the other side, someone who's passed over, maybe an M name. N name. K, perhaps. It's an L.
God, my Uncle Larry. He passed like 2 years ago.
Yes.
Does he have a message for me?
Hang on. He does. He says everything is going to be okay and that he loves you. As only an uncle can.
Oh, my God. There's no way he could have known that he was my uncle.
It really is that easy, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Classes are starting soon, and financial aid is available.
We'll have one of our current students help you out with the lottery numbers.
I'm getting a 7.
The Khan Academy. Because you may not know what the future holds.
And neither do we.
Adam Gorkesh. Yes, he'll sell you shit from his Khan Academy. Right-wing libertarian bullshit. All right, it is Pink on the Bear Show. Couple things up. I've got an hour, man. I've got an hour, and I've got more things to talk about. But this is something that I wanted to get to last week. My friend Stephen Argue. I don't think Argue is his last name, but on Facebook he is. Stephen Argue, and he's a Red, and he's very well-read and very well-rounded and knows a lot of stuff. And I enjoy reading his blog and his posts on Facebook. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, find Stephen Argue and add him if you'd like more comrades in your life. So he says, the following is my response to a cop who saw my post of these cops and complained about protesters always rioting, complained our protests, of course, accomplished nothing. Smugly pointing out that it is the police and not us who have guns, and who said he loves this t-shirt and wants to know where to get one. So you're confused about the t-shirt. So there's a picture of three pigs, three little pigs. I don't know where they are. It looks like they're at a restaurant. And this t-shirt this cop is wearing, I mean, this is, well, unbelievable, probably not. But he's wearing this t-shirt, of course, it's black, and it has a picture of a cityscape, you know, cartoon cityscape, you know, the high-rises and stuff, and he's lording over, he's huge, and he's over the cityscape, and he's got a baseball bat, and the caption on the top says, "We get up early to beat the crowds." Here's a cop wearing a t-shirt, and on the back it says, "We get up early," and it shows the city with a cop over the top of it with a big shit-eating grin and a baseball bat. "We get up early to beat the crowds." He's very proud of that t-shirt and that mentality that the Gang of Blue have. It's really disgusting. So I just thought I'd take a couple minutes and read Stephen's response to this. In the United States, armed police often violently attack people for exercising our rights to free speech, but the propaganda of the corporate media constantly spew their lies, making the victims of police repression look like criminals. In reality, it's the capitalist police and not the people who are the violent criminals. Our protests haven't accomplished a thing? Really? Bullshit. So here's a rundown of our top 6 accomplishments. Accomplishments made despite your police batons in the street, motherfucker. Okay, he didn't say motherfucker. That was me. So here's some accomplishments. If you think you know, getting out in the streets doesn't do anything, if you think that you know, being in solidarity with your you know, your brothers and sisters to make the world a better place doesn't do anything, here's just six of them. Won't take too long. 1934, three major strikes, including two general strikes in San Francisco and Minneapolis, all led by Reds, folks. Reds. And fighting against you cops. Forced the U.S. capitalist class to give us the New Deal. The gains we won included Social Security, a minimum wage, a ban on child labor, and programs that provided jobs. It wasn't the socialism many of us were fighting for, but these things were accomplishments. Even though you cops were fighting on the ruling class side against us. In the 1960s, there were accomplishments as well. People fought back in the black ghettos and across the South, standing up in the face of police and Klan terror. And far from accomplishing nothing, as you claim, we forced an end to legalized discrimination against blacks. It wasn't the abolition of the racist capitalist system or an end to racist police terror, but important advances were made. We accomplished nothing with our marches? Well, in the 1960s and 70s, people rose up against the U.S. slaughter of the Vietnamese people. By May of 1970, so many people were fed up with the war and the government repression that 8 million students went out on strike. Now, this didn't immediately stop the war. But afterwards, the majority of the people drafted opposed the war. Soldiers in Vietnam refused to murder for a war that they didn't believe in, fighting in a country where they didn't fucking belong. And a lot of commanding officers that tried to force them to fight were fragged. Sir, no sir. This helped bring victory to the Vietnamese people, enabling them to run their country as they saw fit without the U.S. mass murder and the U.S. imposed dictatorships. That's Vietnam. And once again, our struggles did accomplish something. The war was ended, and our boys, the Viet Cong, were victorious. When he says our boys, he means the proletariat, the people of Vietnam, not our boys in uniform. Now, it wasn't the abolition of the U.S. imperialism and the U.S. imperialist wars, but you know what? It was the liberation of Vietnam. And it was an end to the U.S. slaughter of 3 million Vietnamese people. And that's still an important victory. So he goes on, a couple more things. He says, in addition, spinoffs from the movement against the U.S. war in Vietnam included the Women's Liberation Movement, the Gay and Lesbian Liberation Movements, the Environmental Movement. Now, the ERA is still not passed, the Equal Rights Amendment still hasn't passed, but we've made important headway on basic rights and reproductive freedom due to a mass movement that took to the streets. Gays and lesbians are still officially discriminated against, including not being allowed to marry and have the same legal rights as straight couples, but they're no longer rounded up by police vice squads with their names published in the newspapers the next day. And being fired from their jobs as a result, that doesn't happen anymore. And they're no longer locked up and tortured in mental institutions for homosexuality. The planet is also rapidly being destroyed by greedy capitalists through global warming. But we did get some terrible things like DDT banned. Remember Monsanto DDT? We got that banned. And we got a heightened awareness of earlier movements, at least puts us one step closer to possibly rising up and doing something about global warming in the future. So as you can see, pigs, our work and our protests,
They may not have brought on the revolution that most of us seek, but you are either very naive or lying through your fucking pig teeth if you think that our protests have accomplished nothing. After all, if we were accomplishing nothing, why would those who own this country send you pigs out to bust our heads so often when we are simply exercising our legal right to protest, huh? Your bosses, pigs, your bosses are scared of the people. And that's why they send you thugs out against us. We will continue our struggle. Always reminded that your anger and disapproval are signs. Signs that we're doing something right. Stephen Argue of the Revolutionary Tendency. Look him up on Facebook. Just Google him, Stephen Argue. Click like on his page. Subscribe to his blog. A lot of accomplishments. Don't ever say that marches and demonstrations do nothing. Voting does nothing. People gathered together for a common cause in the streets. That's what changes things. Oh, sure, a politician will come along and say, ooh, look at that parade, look at that parade. And they, you know, pull out their party banner and they jump in front of the parade and they say, this is my parade, I started this. No, it starts in the streets and it starts with organization and agitation. It starts with mass movements, mass protests. Well, it starts with small ones. And then they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then some politician will come along. Don't worship the politician. He didn't think of this shit and he didn't do the hard work on the ground. Pigs. Cop. We get up early. We get up early. I just couldn't believe this picture of this cop wearing this t-shirt and all proud. I got a baton. I want to bust some heads. Really? Assholes in costumes and badges and guns. Your mama's not proud of what you've become. There's no way we get up early to beat the crowds. Motherfucker. All right, I'm a little salty tonight. I'm cussing more. I'm a little more angry. This is not normal for me. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's normal. Maybe it's been a long day. It's been a really, really long day. What to do? Charlie Chaplin always makes me happy. We should have some Charlie Chaplin. What do you think?
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone at once. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. No one will be lost. No one will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world. Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite!
Yeah, that makes me happy, man. That makes me happy. It is the Pinko the Bear Show. We've got about 30 minutes left. I've got a piece from the Granville Post. Patrice Granville, fellow Red, anarchist, lefty leftist. The GranvillePost.com about desolationists. So I'll share that right after we hear this. This song, lyrics to this song, pretty powerful. Here we go.
Why am I an anarchist? Because old age pensioners eat dog food. Because single moms on welfare cry. Because politicians steal our future. Because women can't walk the streets safely. Because I want to breathe fresh, clean air. Because hope, freedom, and dignity are never on special at Walmart. Because capitalism is a scam.
idea why that song cuts off like that. Maybe they're just not rule followers. No fade out, no standard ending, no drum roll at the end. Just abruptly cuts off and goes to a heartbeat. I don't know. I like it, though. All right, it is the Pinko the Bear Show. We are in the last half hour. 3 half hours down, 1 half hour to go. I'm going to talk about the plague of desolationists. Desolationists, what's that? I'll tell you about it. The plague of desolationists on the left. This is from my good friend Patrice Granville, Granville Post. He's in his early 80s. Still works, a couple jobs. He is the editor over at the Granville Post. Actually, it's just granvillepost.com. GRANVILLEPost.com. And basically, it's an aggregator. Think of the Huffington Post for liberals. It's an aggregator like the Huffington Post for more radical thought, radical writers, smart people, well-informed people, people who pretty much say it like it is, but they can't get a platform at Huffington or in any of the corporate-owned media anymore. Well, they never probably could, right? But this piece is by Randy Shields, and I like it. I like it a lot, and I wanted to bring it last week, but I ran out of time. And you've heard about isolationists, right? The isolationist right, like the Pat Buchanans of the world. But I want to tell you about the desolationist left. The desolationists rose up recently decrying Obama's gaffe of calling California Attorney General Kamala Harris, quote, by far the best-looking attorney general in the country. Now, gaffe, of course, means that somebody in power absentmindedly told the truth. Kind of like when Chuck Hagel said that the United States, that he, being a senator, his first job is to represent America, not Israel. Okay, maybe this was more of a misunderstanding on Hagel's part than a true gaffe, but he did say it. Anyway, I digress. Desolationist wrote many columns analyzing Obama's Kamala Harris comment in the same week. The very same week. They spent all their time talking about Obama's comments that she's the best-looking attorney general in these United States. But they spent no time. They totally failed to notice the 2 Afghan children that Obama killed. The 7 adult civilians that he wounded the preceding Saturday. They had no time to talk about the 4 Afghan policemen and the 2 civilians that he killed on Thursday and the 11 Afghan children and 1 woman that he killed the following Saturday. See, over 6 times as many people as were killed at the Boston Marathon. Oh, it was a batter week for the Poseidon-in-Chief. I never heard that. Pedicider. Children killer, child killer in chief, pedocider in chief. Years ago, Iran's Ahmadinejad was, I know that's a hard word to pronounce, so just call him a man in a dinner jacket. Iran's a man in the dinner jacket was mistranslated as saying that Israel should be wiped off the map. You remember that? But here we've got Obama, who actually does wipe completely innocent people off the map each and every fucking week. And he doesn't shed a tear about it. But desolationists will imagine that the man in the dinner jacket, Ahmadinejad, does more damage to the world than Barack Obama. Oh, he's evil. I heard it on the TV machine. Concerned about Obama's awful positions and records, desolationists say they had to vote for him. Oh, we had to vote for Obama because he will at least, well, he'll preserve Roe versus Wade. Of course, ignoring the ample evidence that access to safe and legal abortion and even contraception has done nothing but constrict during his rule. A couple of weeks ago, a federal judge appointed by Ronald Reagan rebuked Obama and the Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius for preventing women under 17
from having access to emergency contraception. I think they're talking about the day after pill. The judge called Sebelius/Obama's actions, quote, politically motivated, scientifically unjustified, and contrary to agency precedent. No shit. There are some good judges, I guess. Still, desolationists feel better that Obama isn't some anti-science Republican yahoo. After all, Romney and Bush and Cheney and Tamerlane and Genghis Khan were all far worse than Obama could be, right? Desolationists are content to fight over God and guns and gays. Arenas where they can shoot the right-wing crazies in a barrel while ignoring bipartisan systemic evil. And that's the thing with the whole left-right thing. Right? Ooh, Obama, he's better than those guys. And then you get on your high horse and you tell everybody how bad those guys on the far right are. And it's easy. It's shooting fish in a barrel. But when you're doing that, you're ignoring the bipartisan systemic evil. Desolationists have no class consciousness. Desolationists have no international solidarity, especially with people of color. And in the end, they seldom get what they want. They never hardly get what they want. Just a little bit of here, Lily Ledbetter. Okay, nice. Hence, their state of complete emptiness and or destruction. Desolationists believe that America's nonstop bombing of other nations is either no issue at all or just one among many, and probably not nearly as important as being pro-choice. It's not nearly as important as supporting gun control or equal marriage, killing brown people around the world. No, it's not that important. It's more important that we regulate guns and go to pro-choice rallies. If you tell a desolationist that constant war means a police state at home, they're going to call you an alarmist. You're a crazy person. You're an alarmist. You're a far lefty. Because you know what? Desolationists, they prize order above nearly everything. Desolationists are not Muslim generally. And they definitely aren't radical and have never have their innocuous verbalizations interfered with by the state. They can get out there and they can protest and rally for equal rights and gun regulation, and they're not going to have their heads beaten in. Try that at an anti-war rally. Desolationists believe that it's some sort of big fucking achievement that gay people have the same opportunity as straight people to slaughter innocent brown people on behalf of the American empire. Ooh, we did away with don't ask, don't tell. I can be gay and go kill people. Give me a uniform and a gun. The same way feminist desolationists who celebrate women in combat roles in the military. You know, one of these days, these feminists will look back puzzled that the American government skipped right over Margaret Atwood's A Handmaid's Tale, where women were segregated as sex slaves and breeding machines and went directly to making America's women war slaves, while most of the menfolk will just kick back on the home front drinking beer and watching sports. You go, girls. If we knew how to bake cookies, we'd send them to you in Iraq, ladies. If we knew how to bake cookies, we'd send you cookies to Afghanistan and Somalia or wherever you're defending America's values of aggressive war, resource theft, bolstering corrupt dictators, and liquidating, killing, murdering land reformers, union organizers, and popular liberation movements. Yes, we'll send you those cookies right away, ladies. Capitalism will pervert everything eventually, including feminism. In fact, desolationists believe the delusions that feminism is stronger than capitalism. I've heard it. Capitalism has been perverted long ago, even back in the embryo, precisely because they do not have any class consciousness. Single issue.
If you want to see desolationists up close and despicable, folks, check out the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. The Alliance of Women Film Journalists, they presented this actress, Jessica Chastain. They gave her an award, folks, an award for humanitarian activism, female icon award. That's what they call it. And what did they give her the award for? Because as an actress, she played Maya. Who's Maya? Have you seen the movie Zero Dark Thirty? The CIA torturing, the CIA torturer and killer in the movie Zero Dark Thirty? And no, this isn't some onion bullshit going on. This is not satire. This award is, quote, presented to an actress for the portrayal of the most positive female role model. A woman who's heroic, accomplished, persistent, demands her rights and or the rights of others. You know, the rights of others to be kidnapped and tortured to death. Those rights that were enshrined in the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Principles. The right of a woman to assimilate, emulate, and validate the absolute worst qualities of white male racists and undoubtedly sexist goon for capitalism. They gave her a fucking award. Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Really? You're going to play a CIA torturer, play a CIA killer in a movie, Zero Dark Thirty, and she gets an award. The AWFJ also gave awards to Zero Dark Thirty for Best Film, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Actress, Best Editing, and Best Woman Director, Kathryn Bigelow. One of the rare AWFJ awards that didn't go to trashing Arabs, right, went to trashing Persians, Iranians. So Zero Dark Thirty got all those awards, and the other awards went to Argo, folks. Best Adapted Screenplay. The only way you award Zero Dark Thirty so thoroughly is if you hate Muslims. Or you see them as, say, I don't know, something like 3/5 of a human being. Less than human. Now, for a deeper look of Zero Dark Thirty, Abu Ghraib, and how feminism is used in service of the American Empire, if you like, you can check out Matt Cornell's The Torturer as Feminist. Just Google it. Yeah, so why should the CIA spend all its hard-earned drug money on front groups when organizations like the AWFJ do all the heavy lifting propaganda-wise, huh? And am I paranoid? Is it too paranoid to imagine that one day all the nominees for Best Picture Oscar will be CIA productions, either covertly or overtly? Is that too much? Maybe. I don't know. This would just be an extension of the FBI orchestrating the most of the recent terror plots or infiltrating leftist groups in the early 70s to such an extent that FBI agents eventually rose to leadership positions in these groups and then disbanded them. Freedom, democracy, choices, hung or shot. Everything in America, folks, is a mirage. Nothing matters because nothing is real. The past is wiped clean every day. It's a cardboard cutout of a country, and the only thing behind the official apparitions is money. Always money. And there's the desolationists saying for months and months and months, hey, we're going to hold Obama's feet to the fire about the whole Republican cuts to Social Security, when in fact it's fucking Obama himself who put the Social Security cuts on the table in the first place and now has put them into his budget. He's the first Democratic president to ever do so. A Republican could never get away with it because the desolationists would then scream out, But when a Democrat does it, well, you know, it's okay. So Obama says he wants to put your grandma on Friskies so that someday, maybe, hey, your children can have fancy feast. I think I hear my can opener opening right now, 9 years into the future. That'll be the desolationist war cry. Please, Barack, take the Friskies off the table. With the blacks standing down indefinitely, the working class doesn't have the requisite rage to stop Obama from taking the first swipes or the first swings of the wrecking ball to Social Security. Wrecking ball, wrecking ball. That sounds like a song. Oh, that's a song from Bruce Springsteen. Oh, yeah, thanks, Bruce, for campaigning for this Wall Street stooge, Mr. Obama. You're going to have a fuckload of new impoverished Americans to wail about and write songs to about while you rack up the kudos from the cock and bull rock and roll press. The boss! Wrecking ball. Talk about desolationists. Workers are probably going to I'm going to go gentle into that chained CPI night and die anonymously. Die anonymous, overlook deaths of 1,000 cuts. But of course, by then, you know, Obama's going to be long gone. He's going to be a multimillionaire. He's going to have multimillion-dollar book deals, speaking engagements. He'll have a foundation, and who knows, maybe he'll devote a year of his later years to cramming South African-like Batustans down the throats of Palestinians, or maybe he'll be a globe-trotting grand bargainer for American capital in Africa with a pen in one hand and an AFRICOM drone stick in the other, I should say joystick in the other. Who's the ruling class going to call? Oh, Ball Buster. That's who. I think Randy hits it on the head, Randy Shields. You can read the whole thing over at Granville Post, granvillepost.com, the name of the article. Once again, a plague of desolationists on the left. Liberals. Going along to get along. Only a Democrat could cut Social Security. Only a Democrat could kill innocent men, women, and children in 6 different countries by drone. Only a Democrat could execute American citizens on his say-so without a trial, evidence, conviction. Only a Democrat. People look at him, cute man with the big ears and the nice family and the nice dog. Michelle's got the nice guns, her arms. Oh, look at us. We're Democrats. So glad Bush is gone. Extends the Bush tax cuts. Doesn't institute a new deal. No bankers in prison. Too big to fail. Still exists. Too big to exist, but no. He's in the pocket of Goldman Sachs and the like. Only a Democrat could pull this shit off. Because the desolationists just won't see it. The cognitive dissonance that just must be present if they tried to look at the truth about this guy. Only an American president with a D behind his name could assassinate citizens without trial. Well, he's a terrorist. He was on my kill list, Taco Tuesdays. Got it. I see on Facebook, I see all these Democrats pimping for Hillary already. Really? My God. It's a crazy world we live in with a bunch of crazy people. I don't know if they're so crazy. They're not crazy. They're just very ill-informed. I mean, hell, I voted for Reagan twice. I didn't know. I was ill-informed. A lot of people were ill-informed. All right, I got a few more minutes. A couple things I wanted to play. One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Shiloh. I think it was called Shiloh. Was it called Shiloh? Yeah. The Jimmy Stewart movie, Civil War. Him and his like seven sons, daughter, working on a farm, Virginia. Civil War breaks out. And he's like, hey, this ain't any of my concern. And they're trying to keep his family out of the war. Shit happens. Stuff happens. People die. Family members die. But there's a really great scene when the Southern officer comes around and he wants to, where are your sons? They need to sign up and defend Virginia. And he had a really, really good response. Let me play that for you here. I like it a lot.
So, can you give me one good reason why I should send my family that took me a lifetime to raise down that road like a bunch of damn fools to do somebody else's fighting?
Virginia needs all of her sons, Mr. Anderson.
That might be so, Johnson, but these are my sons. They don't belong to the state. When they were babies, I never saw the state coming around with a spare tit. We never asked anything of the state and never expected anything. We do our own living, and thanks to no man for the right.
I like that. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that almost as much as I like the sound of this. Last 10 minutes, last beer. There was an internet meme going around a while ago. It was two pictures, one on top, one on bottom. The picture on top was basically Mad Max, you know, the chaotic, crazy aftermath of a nuclear age. And it was and then underneath it showed Star Trek, very civilized and very together. And, you know, one was libertarianism, the top, right-wing libertarianism, and the other was socialism or communism. Or left libertarianism. And I got an extended conversation with a friend of mine about that, and he didn't really get it. And, you know, I can't get it for him. I can only put it out there and explain it so many ways. But then I saw this other clip. I've always thought, like, Star Trek was very socialistic. You know, they don't use terms like socialism or communism, right? But here we had a federation of planets. We didn't have nations and borders. It was a one world government, a one universe, not even universe, but one, it's a federation. And they were always the good guys, right? But, you know, I'm not in favor of state socialism, you know, but I did get a kick out of this, and I found this clip. You can find it on YouTube, but it's examples of communism in Star Trek. I just want to play this because I like it, and you might like it too.
I know this is all very confusing to you, so I'll attempt to explain. You are on the starship USS Enterprise.
American.
No, it's a vessel in the United Federation of Planets, and Earth is a member.
Talk. Give me a martini straight up with two olives. For the vitamins. I might just get to like this place.
You might. Well,
let's see if the braves are on. How do you cut on this TV?
Where's the TV?
TV. Yeah, the boob tube.
The boob tube.
I believe he means television, sir. That particular form of entertainment did not last much beyond the year 2040.
Thank God. Well,
what do you guys do? I mean, you don't drink and you ain't got no TV. Must be kind of boring, ain't it?
That's what all this is about. A lot has changed in the past 300 years. People are no longer obsessed with the accumulation of things.
Yeah.
We've eliminated hunger, want.
Yep.
The need for possessions.
Yep.
We've grown out of our infancy.
Yep.
Here's what I propose. You can't stay on the Enterprise, but I have arranged for us a rendezvous with the USS Charleston bound for Earth. They'll deliver you there.
Then what will happen to us? There's no trace of my money. My office is gone. What will I do? How will I live?
Get a fucking life.
This is the 24th century. Material needs no longer exist.
Then what's the challenge?
The challenge, Mr. Offenhaus, is to improve yourself. To enrich yourself. Enjoy it.
I do like that. All right. I got a couple minutes here. I want to play Lee Camp, Moment of Clarity, Time to Build a Shadow Government. I may have mentioned the shadow government nominations went out and posts accepted. If not, maybe I'll get to it more. But this is, well, it's Lee, man. It's Lee being Lee, and I like it. So here it is, Moment of Clarity on the Pink of the Bear Show via Lee Camp. LeeCamp.net.
We got no plans, no plans at all. Evil man's always transcending. Fight her like sheep, swallow everything. Always simpletons or pretending.
This is your Moment of Clarity from LeeCamp.net. Although today it's more of an announcement than a moment of clarity, I'm proud to announce I've been chosen as the Commissioner of the Comedic Arts for the Green Shadow Cabinet. But I feel like people don't really appreciate that I now have the hardest job in the entire governmental body, far more difficult than, say, the president or that other guy that tells the president what to do. Why do I feel I have the hardest job? Because we live in a country where reality has lapped satire. It surpassed irony. It has headbutted humor in the crotch. We live in a country where Congress is unwilling or unable to pass any sort of meaningful Wall Street reform immediately following the largest financial crime mankind has ever seen. We have a government that passes the Stock Act to stop government officials from trading on insider knowledge, but then, last week, they passed a new bill unanimously gutting the earlier one. We have a government that prosecutes whistleblowers far more strenuously than they go after the fraudsters, banksters, or murderers exposed by those whistleblowers. It's like someone blowing a rape whistle, and then the cops show up just to set fire to the rape whistle. They're like, that's really like loud and annoying. Why are you doing that? How am I supposed to create comedy when reality is as ridiculous as anything can be? Only fiction like Catch-22 in 1984 can even begin to describe the society in which we live. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is set to be the largest trade deal in history, likely giving international corporations the right to bring legal action against the United States for enforcing our own environmental laws. So we're passing a trade deal to give other countries the right to tell us what to do on our own land. How does a comedian go about exaggerating that? On the never-ending war front, the Pentagon, to their credit, realized we were killing too many civilians in Afghanistan. So they came up with a bold new solution. They changed the definition of the word civilian to exclude anybody of military age. All of a sudden, we're not killing that many civilians. The military now has the power to change the definition of words. Up is down, right is wrong, inside is out, dumb is smart, war is peace, idiots are politicians, apathy is cool, geniuses are convicts, and it's my job to mock it? I can't mock it, I'm too dizzy. We live in hyperbole. We exist in an inflated dark metaphor that cannot be topped. My point is simply that I'm honored to be the Green Shadow Cabinet's Commissioner of Comedic Arts, a position at which I cannot possibly succeed. Uh-huh. So thanks a lot. In a world where the reality is comedy, I guess I'm just an underpaid anchorman. That's been your Moment of Clarity. You can learn more about the Green Shadow Cabinet, including who will be holding the other positions, by going to greenshadowcabinet.us. And leave a comment below. What do you think I should do as my first order of business as Commissioner of Comedic Arts? Thanks a lot. Keep fighting.
It is the Pink of the Bear Show. That is going to do it for the night. 2 hours. I actually made it through the night, as tired as I was. And I think having six Pabst Blue Ribbons helped a lot to get through the two hours, though it didn't help my enunciation much. But I hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Once a week,
midnight Pacific time, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. I call it Tuesday night because until I go to sleep, I don't care. It's midnight, now it's 1, now it's 2 a.m., technically it's Wednesday. It's still Tuesday night for me till I go to bed and wake up. But anyway, same bat time, same bat channel, the Pinko the Bear Show. Also, check out the Commons Project Network, TCPN, the Commons Project Network.com. Me and some of my leftist radical types are all putting our shows up there. We hope it to develop it into a lefty hub. We want to welcome the Authority Smashing Hour, Zenu, Derek Johnson, the host of that show, into our little fold of radicals. We are not all like-minded in the details, but we all fight a common enemy, and we don't always agree on everything, all of the several different shows that we've got. But check it out, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. And Pinko the Bear Show is there. Here Be Monsters, Air Armatafio, Authority Smashing Hour. There's blogs by David Williams, Krell, also known as Krell. I know I'm forgetting some other shows. Forgive me for not remembering everybody. Oh, AWOP Radio with Kim G. Publisher. It's all just do-it-yourself radio. The corporations have the right, and the corporations have the so-called left, but there's not a hub for real leftists, and we're developing this, and it's been out, it's been active for about a month or so, but it's going to grow, and we hope you check it out. Anyway, love you all. I gotta go. Take it away, Tony Bambino. Come on now, sing that song.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses, arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the forge must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally, and the last fight let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last fight, let us face.